Open your Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy, the first chapter. 2 Timothy, the first chapter. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of the Word, and we pray tonight as we study it together that it'll help us to be better children of thine, help us to be concerned about the kingdom and winning of others to thee and teaching those who are already saved. Help us tonight that we may center our minds and our hearts upon the things of eternal value. Help us to understand and to pursue the will of God in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift that is in thee. I understand from reading the scriptures that Timothy must have been a young, bashful, and a little fearful at times, because Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 16:10, "Now if Timotheus come, see that he be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do." Timothy was a fine young preacher with good ancestry. He evidently was earnest. He was sincere, but he needed more zeal. He needed to be set on fire. He was told to stir up the gift that is in thee. I think I've known many people like Timothy. Maybe I've come into that category at times. People who have facts, but maybe do not have the fire. Someone has said we do not need the truth on ice. We need the truth on fire. And that certainly is true. Paul admonished Timothy to kindle the sacred flame that was within him. This was something that God had put within him, and he was to stir it up. I think people that have been reared in modern homes with central heat have missed the experience that best illustrates what Paul's talking to Timothy about. You ever get up on a cold morning, shivering before a fireplace? Stir up the covered coals, and put a little kindling on, and blow or fan with a piece of cardboard, or just blow. The elite had a turkey wing, you know, they could fan with. And finally, you know, it'd break out into flame, and you had still more kindling and wood. And you have the fire going. Now, the fire's there. There's a few cold, covered-up ashes, so it needs to be stirred up. I think that's what Paul means when he's telling Timothy to stir up the gift that is in thee. There are times when the fires burn low in our lives. Let's be honest about it. The fires burn low, and they need to be stirred up. Timothy was not told to stir up himself. He was told to stir up the gift that is within thee. I understand that to mean that God, through the Holy Spirit, had endowed Timothy with what it takes to serve the Lord, to do his work in the ministry. And I think that as that applies to us, it teaches us that we should stir up the gift, our gifts that are within us. The Holy Spirit indwells all of us, but sometimes the fires get low, I tell you, and there needs to be a stirring up. Now, much religious activity is carried on in the energies of the flesh, and I don't think Paul is admonishing Timothy to whip up the flesh. That's not the idea at all, but the God implanted fire that is within him is to be kindled and stirred up that Timothy may do the work that God has called him to do. He was exhorted on one occasion, said, "Let no man despise thy youth." There's a lot put on the shoulders of this young man. And 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." A lot of times people don't expect much from a young preacher. But that wasn't the case with the Apostle Paul. Sometimes young preachers and old preachers don't get along. Paul and Timothy did. And Paul expected something out of Timothy. Many young preachers are good, extra good, because they start working in their first love for God. And I would urge all of us not to discount young preachers. Timothy had the holy fires burning within him, but evidently, later on, some way, he lost some of his zeal, cooled off a little bit. And Paul urged him to stir up the gift that is within thee. Now, I think if we don't stir up the gift that's within us, we'll end up being average church members and average preachers. And you know, I've always said I don't want to be an average preacher, because average preachers don't do much. I don't want to be an average church member, because average church members don't do much. Until we get above the average, we're not really doing much for the Lord. Paul recognized that Timothy needed training. He told him, he said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We're also told that a bishop or pastor is not to be a novice, a beginner. And hence there's need not only for training, but experience. But above all, Timothy was told not to get in a rut. You know, the only difference between a rut and a grave is just in the dimensions. Someone said to me one time that a rut is just a grave with both ends knocked out. And I think that's worth remembering. All of God's children, all preachers, all members of the church need to stir up the embers of the holy fire until there's a heavenly zeal that gets hold of them. Every believer has the fire within him. If he's a child of God, there's some fire in him. You can count on that. Now, it may take a sheriff and a search warrant to find it, but it's there. But we're told to stir up the gift. In many hearts, the fire has died down. We're told because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I believe we're living in an hour like that when the love of many have waxed cold. The Bible talks about quenching the spirit, saying no to the spirit. And I'll tell you, every time you say no to the Holy Spirit, every time you quench the Holy Spirit, fires get a little lower. We're told to grieve not the Holy Spirit. And every time we grieve the Holy Spirit, the flame gets a little lower. It's there, but it's not burning as it should. We're told to be bright and shining, not on our own, but in the power of God. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. I think this applies to the pulpit. It applies to me. It applies to the pew. Let our lights shine. We usually have the children talk about let this little light shine. But we need to let our lights shine. Stir up the gift that is within thee, Paul told Timothy. I was thinking of a statement found in Solomon 1:6, and when I read it, it brought conviction to my own heart. It says, they made me keeper of the vineyard, but my own vineyard have I not kept. I suppose every preacher, every God-called preacher, at times feels that he's called on to keep the vineyard and yet has not kept his own vineyard as he should. There are many things that can smother the fire. There are many things that can cause the fires to burn low in our hearts. I think the candle of our testimony can be smothered, as the Bible puts it, by the bushel or by the bed. Now listen to the word. Mark 4:21. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? As I understand it, the bushel stands for money-making, business, temporal concerns of life, as we might say, making a living. Now, it's very easy to let making a living and what apparently seems to be legitimate things come in and smother the fire. On the other hand, it talks about the bed, hiding the candle under the bed. The bed speaks of luxury, of ease, of comfort, of worldly pleasures, taking it easy. Listen, friends, many people have allowed the fires to burn low in their hearts because they were either too busy or too lazy. I'll just wait for that to soak in. I think another thing that causes the fire to burn low is neglect. You know, it's easy to neglect the work of the Lord. It's easy to neglect your testimony. You let the fire alone, you don't replenish it, and it'll burn low. Ashes will gather. If we neglect prayer, if we neglect the Bible study, if we neglect meditation on the goodness and mercy of God, if we neglect the holy exercise of serving God, fires will burn low. They'll sure do it. It's never been easier. I don't think it's never been easier than now to be slothful and complacent. The very atmosphere of the world is against us. I tell you what the devil would like to have us do. He'd like to have our eyelids heavy and our minds groggy. I've often said the atmosphere of the world is somewhat like a overheated, underventilated room. It's kind of hard to keep awake, and it's hard to keep alert. And that's the kind of a situation that we're in. I have friends who live in tropical climate. I don't know whether I'd survive in a tropical climate or not. I know it saps the vitality of the body. It slows down people. The climate of the sinful world is against us. We've allowed the world to sort of chloroform us, put us in a state of complacency. I think God is telling us, as well as he told young Timothy, you have the fire within you. You have the gifts within you to serve God. Stir them up. Stir them up. And serve God. I think others can quench the spirit and smother the flame. Every child of God, it's a contradiction to the age in which we live. We go against the grain. We pull against the current. But God expects us to live in such a way that the world will think we're off a notch or two. Brother, when everybody around you thinks that you're just wonderful, I'm talking about if you're working in an office where there's 25 or 30, and everybody there thinks you're just it, you better examine yourself. I'm not talking about striving to be different. That not be required. But just being a child of God will make you stand out and get you some criticism. They'll talk at your back and do some talking to your face. You know, we're somebody's fool. And the Bible teaches us to be fools for Christ. Fools for Christ. You know, preachers do a foolish thing when they preach. They do. But it pleases God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. But I thought so many times while I'm preaching, you know, how many times have I told people, look, you're getting old, you're going to die. Well, they know that. And I tell them over and over things they already know, and I think, what a foolish thing. It is foolish. And it really doesn't make sense to the world, I'll tell you that. But it pleases God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. If we will allow it, people will tone us down. They will. They'll tone us down and steal the joy of salvation and reduce us to an average or below. God forbid. It ought to be more than average. You know, I think if the devil can't keep a person from being saved, the next thing he starts on is just get them to be average children of God. Because he's made a real mark in the life of a child of God if he can just get them to be average. I don't think the devil minds, Brother Penn, I don't think he minds at all a child of God joining the church if that child of God joins without any real commitment. I don't think it bothers the devil at all. We're just living in an age when not many people are really committed. In most lives, the fires are pretty low. And we'd be honest and say that's true. You just watch what happens when someone comes along, though, wide awake and really doing things, has a passion for the needs of others. You know what'll happen? Devil will get him a crowd and a bunch of wet blankets and start for him. And strange thing is that a lot of lukewarm Christians will join in the project. They sure will. Flame gets burning too high. Let me tell you, folks. Lukewarm children of God have put out more fires than all the atheists in the world. Now, men like Voltaire, Ingersoll, Tom Paine, I mentioned some outstanding atheists. They don't cause me to want to preach or slow down. If someone tells me, look, there's no such thing as a heaven, no such thing as a hell, the Bible's not true, that doesn't discourage me. That puts preach in me. But you let a lukewarm child of God get hold of you, and he says, take it easy. You know, I've had people try to get me to give less of my money. I'm talking about church members. You know why it bothered them? Preacher, you know, you can't afford to give like that. Why? Slow down. You're going to have a nervous bust up. I said, thank you. Take it easy. Sometimes it's discouragement at home. Sometimes people's enemies, as far as work of the Lord, is in the home. Jesus said, if a man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children, brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now in Matthew 10:27 and 28, I believe it is, I think explains that. It said, if you love mother or father more than me, you're not worthy of me. And so our first love is to be the Lord Jesus Christ. I think fear can choke the flame, make the fires burn low. Fear of the past, fear of the future, fear of sickness, fear of death, fear of what people may say, fear of what people may think, fear of failure, a thousand other forms of fear. Someone has said there are three words that sum up this generation: hurry, worry, and bury. But I don't think God wants us to live constantly under fear. It's crippling. 2 Timothy 1:12 says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Now, if we live in daily fear, it's not of God. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's remember that the stirring up of the gift within us is our business. God will not do it for us. It is our business. Let's begin to stir up the gift within us. The Holy Spirit indwells every last one of us. And the Holy Spirit, folk, I'm not a Pentecostal, I'm a Baptist, but the Holy Spirit within us wants to do wonderful things. And that's true. And many times we just don't let the fires burn. We quench the Spirit. We need to stir up the gift within us. Say, how you do it? Well, I tell you, you give serious consideration to the Word of God and you'll soon get stirred up. You pray. And you meditate. That's a lost art, it seems, among people today. But let me tell you, it'll warm our cold hearts if we'll just stop and get quiet and think about how good God is toward us. It'll revive us. I remember reading this illustration. It said in Scotland, many years before the time of matches. See, we just take for granted people have always had matches, but they haven't. They had to get fire from each other. It seems at this particular time in a certain village in Scotland, they let the fires go out. And they began to search for someone that had some fire. And at last they found a little cottage up on a hillside. And there the hearth was glowing with cheery flame. And they began to get coals from that fire, to go back and start fires in their own blackened fireplaces. You know, there's a lot of tired, weary, sin-sick people in the world. Sometimes we want to say this is not so, but it's true. There's a lot of weary, sin-sick people in the world that like to find someone that has the fire of God within them. May God help us to have a great stirring up. They will have fire in spite of the devil, in spite of the flesh, in spite of the wicked world system. God grant that we have a great stirring in our hearts. I feel the need of it. I'm honest with you. I could stand the fires to be stirred up, the flames burning higher. I think all of us could. Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift that is within you. I believe he's speaking to us today. Do the same thing. May God bless you.